is just good to be here today and to worship with you. So if you would open your Bibles or Bible apps to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy 30. We're taking a little break from our series in Romans. So as Caleb mentioned, it's actually going to be 45 years tomorrow that abortion was legalized in our country. We are now approaching 60 million abortions since its legalization. Already in our country, just this year, 2018, 61,000 abortions, one every 30 seconds. And you know, honestly, we shouldn't have to set aside a Sunday to celebrate and highlight the value of life. We shouldn't have to take a Sunday to remind ourselves that life matters, that moms and dads should not take the life of their child. We should just know it. I mean, life is precious. God is the giver of life. Jesus came to give abundant life. No human life is worthless, regardless of skin color, age, disability, or economic status. As Christians, as believers in Jesus, of course we know human life is valuable. But in our world today, it's just not. Russell Moore, a Baptist preacher and author, wrote regarding the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. This morning I opened my Bible to preach. I looked out and caught the eyes of my sons, and I prayed that their children wouldn't have to hear a sermon against abortion and euthanasia. I prayed that my grandchildren and great-grandchildren would grow up in an age where abortion is, as the Feminists for Life organization put it some years ago, not just illegal, but unthinkable. I prayed for my yet-to-be-conceived, but not yet-to-be-conceived of, great-great-great-great-grandchildren, that the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday would seem unnecessary to them. Do you ever think about that? What would the number be when my kids are my age? It's really going to be unthinkable. If you're taking notes on your outline, the first blank's there. Choice is popular. Choice is popular. You walk into a store looking for a new pair of boots, there'll be dozens of choices. You try to build a house, there are hundreds of plans. You know, retailers know we like to have choices. People don't like to be told what to do. We want to choose our own consequences, so to speak. And even in God's sovereign plan, even God being all-knowing and knowing what the choice would lead to, He's allowed us all to choose our own way or His way. And we see in our country, man, a lot of choosing our own way. If you look up the word choose in the New King James, it is actually mentioned 71 times. And of those 71 times, 26 are in Deuteronomy. The next highest on the list is Isaiah with only 7. So there's a lot of choosing going on here in Deuteronomy. And we've seen this passage before. Deuteronomy, it's not an easy read. It was written by Moses to the generation that was going into the Promised Land. Remember, everybody that came out of Egypt 20 years and older died in the wilderness because of their rebellious hearts, except for Joshua and Caleb. So it was necessary for Moses to give this new generation guidelines on how to live. Basically, he said, listen, don't forget, you are God's people. Choose to acknowledge Him as your God. It's a choice, but here's how you do it. And I believe that it applies to our subject here today. And so if you're able, if you would stand out of respect for God's word as we read Deuteronomy 30, 11 through 20. The word of God says this. For this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near to you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, to keep His judgments, His commandments, His statutes, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you are going to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him. For he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give them. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You can have a seat. So it's a very rich passage here. Did you catch the commandment? It says it's not a mystery that somebody has to solve it for us. It's already solved. It's not far off that we got to send somebody to go get it. It's near. What is the commandment? It's summed up in verses 16 and 20. Love God, obey God, cling to God, and in so doing, choose life. Verse 14 tells us that it's near, it's in our hearts, it's on our lips. And actually, when we get to Romans 10 in a few weeks, we're going to see this actual phrase quoted. So thinking about Romans, what we know about Romans, it's all about the gospel. So the next blank's on your outline. Choosing life is a gospel issue. Choosing life is a gospel issue. That's the problem with our nation, the United States. The gospel has been suppressed in order to serve other gods. The God of convenience, the God of no consequence, the God of fulfilling our fleshly desires. And in choosing to serve these gods, we have not chosen life, we have chosen death. But choosing life is a picture of the gospel. Think about ourselves. We shouldn't be here. We shouldn't have had a second chance at life. We should have been forgotten. We should have been left for dead. We should have been abandoned. But Jesus, who is rich in love and mercy, gave his life for ours. See, we all have this sin-sick soul that desperately needs to be saved. And Jesus, he could have just left us. He could have abandoned us. He couldn't have inconvenienced himself with our dependence, but by God's grace, we're here. We have life. We have hope because of Jesus, what he's done for us. God chose to give us life. He is the life giver, and he does not make mistakes. And so I'd like to just share with you three things on your outline today. And hopefully, one day when my kids are my age, they won't have to be reminded of them because they live in a different world than what we live in, a world where life really is sacred. Number one, God is pro-life. God is pro-life. Would you help me as we read these verses? Deuteronomy 30, 20, for he, this is God, is your what? Life and the length of your days. Genesis 2, 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of what? And man became a living being. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Life. John 1:3 through 5. Speaking of Jesus, all things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. See, darkness cannot even comprehend life. To a lost world, choosing life makes no sense, but God is pro-life, and as his people, we should be also. Because what Jesus has done in our hearts, we don't live in darkness anymore, and we should choose life. One more, John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. See, God is life. Jesus came to give abundant life, and God is pro-life. And as his people, we should be too. Number two, life is precious. Life is precious. We know what that word means, but here's a definition. Precious, something of great value, not to be wasted or treated carelessly. See, life is precious because God gives it. And because it's so fragile. I mean, how many times are we reminded of how fragile life is? When someone close to us, when we lose them, or even the thought of losing them. I wanted to share with you this morning, many of you heard of the passing of my grandpa this past Wednesday. And I've shared with you a few things about him. 2.5 months ago, they gave him 3 to 5 days. But man, God is in charge. And he gave us another Christmas with him. My grandpa was able to celebrate his 65th wedding anniversary with my grandma and his 86th birthday. And so I appreciate your prayers and your condolences as our family moves forward in this new reality. But, man, just a reminder of how fragile life is. It's such a vapor. We hear of so many deaths. I mean, James 4:14, it tells us life is like a vapor. And so a newborn and an elder alike, they remind us of the vulnerability of life. As adults, our lives are fragile, but the unborn and the aged are extremely vulnerable, helpless, at the mercy of those entrusted with their care. And for those, the ones that was given the responsibility to guard it, for them to take their life, it's a work of Satan. God has put protection around human life. It is most sacred to him. And when someone takes someone else's life without the authority to do it, they're doing something that only God has the power to do. Look how the book of Job addresses this. Job 14:5, since his days are determined, the number of his months is with you. You have appointed his limits so that he cannot pass. Other translations say so that it cannot be changed. And so when we as people make the choice to end a life, or believe that there even should be a choice to end a life, we are exalting those made in the image of God to the status of God, and are therefore breaking the first and most important commandment. You shall have no other gods before me, Exodus 23 says. Proverbs 6:16-17 says, there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him, haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. And so abomination here means a disgusting thing. So that's how God sees the taking of a life for the practice of abortion. God is pro-life, and life is precious. Looking back in Deuteronomy 30, verses 15 and 19, we already read it, but it says, see, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. See, with life comes goodness. With life comes blessing. And these are the things that are to be guarded as precious. These are the things that are not to be taken lightly. Life is precious. See, we do have a choice. God gives us a choice. We can choose life. We can choose the good that comes with life and the blessing that comes with life. Or we can choose death and the evil and cursing that comes with it. Psalm 82:3-4, defend the poor, deliver the needy. And there are none more needy than the unborn. Many have been led to believe that the lie that the baby is not a life. And to believe that is to ignore Bible and science both. We've seen these truths before. 19 times in the New King James, when the Bible speaks of a pregnant woman, it says with child. And by definition, a child is a human being. And while the abortion rates are dropping, thankfully, because of efforts of pregnancy resource centers like ours and those that support them, it's easy for us to become desensitized to the whole thing. Even as Christians, we can just kind of see this as normal, but we cannot do that. We have to stand for life. We can't approve of these practices, and we must continue to move forward for life because life is precious. I've said it before, and it's worth saying again, Planned Parenthood needs to be defunded. Because any organization that has a use for harvested body parts, any organization that leads the nation in abortions, just does not need to be here. And you know what? I try to steer clear from politics in life, and especially from here. And say what you will about our president, but one thing that we can be thankful for is that he is pro-life. And as God's people, we are called to pray for our president, that he will continue down the path of life. There are many statistics that I could share with you, but I won't. But let's pray that our president will continue to stand for the sanctity of human life. God is pro-life. Life is precious. And finally, number three, God is gracious. God is gracious. Let us never forget that truth. God is gracious. See, this is an area that likely affects some people sitting among us. The statistic says 1 in 3 women have had an abortion. And man, my prayer is that this message does not come across as condemning by any means. You know, maybe for you it was before Christ, maybe it wasn't. Maybe as the man, you demanded your girlfriend or wife or daughter to get one. At least you didn't try to talk her out of it. For women, maybe it was a horrific experience that you became pregnant. Maybe you were forced into it. Maybe you just didn't know. Maybe you went willingly, but it's a secret that you've harbored for years. But this is God's heart for you. Abortion is not the unforgivable sin. Abortion is not the unforgivable sin. Jesus died to pay for this sin that has caused you so much pain. And Romans 8:1 speaks to your situation. It is a verse that Satan doesn't want you to know, but it is a verse that I absolutely love sharing with anybody who is carrying a burden from a past decision. There is, therefore, now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And so I stand before you here this morning not to condemn, but to remind you of the grace of God that he offers to you. What you did didn't surprise him. The grace of God who has never left you or forsaken you. The grace of God who has been waiting this entire time with arms open wide for you to run back to him. And you will find healing through the gospel. There is therefore now no condemnation. The therefore is there because of the gospel. And you'll find healing in the gospel, the good news of Jesus. But there is a process for it. Ladies, you may have noticed in the women's restrooms, there are cards. We have a ministry here called Surrender the Secret. And it deals with this very thing. And I know several women who have found healing through this. And I always want to take an opportunity like this to promote Surrender the Secret. If you're dealing with this, you need to get that information and give Miss Angie a phone call because she has a heart for this. Man, I've seen it with my own eyes. This can be the steps toward healing that you have been looking for. It doesn't mean that you have to get up here and just air out all your dirty laundry by any means. But this is the step towards healing that you might be looking for. Listen, there may be some here today that are considering an abortion. And I just want to let you know there are better alternatives. There are people in this world who would love to hold your baby and to raise your baby. And there are alternatives. And if you need help to find those alternatives, man, as a church, we would love to try to help you do that. Maybe if this has changed your mind towards pro-life, man, praise the Lord. But for those of us who already are, you know, it can seem like we're fighting a losing battle. Statistically, 40 lives have been lost just since I've been talking. 40 lives. So what can we do to put actions to our pro-life stance? Just a couple of things. First one is support life. Support life. On a local level, that's through the PRC. Man, it's a blessing for Kayla, the director of our PRC, to be a part of this church and to be able to come and give her need, the needs. You know, she's explained the vision and the purpose of this organization. She's explained that there are monetary needs out on the table out front that you can take. On a national level, the American Family Association fights for life. You can give them a monthly donation. The American Center for Law and Justice, you may have heard of Jay Sekulow, he fights for life. We need to support life by supporting these organizations and organizations like these with prayer and money as God leads. And secondly, we need to continue to live on mission. We need to continue to live on mission. This is a gospel issue. And I know you've heard it before, and I know many of you already are living on mission. The gospel is our mission. It's the gospel that makes a way. The gospel is the only thing that can change a culture from death to life. And it's a lifelong mission. Every one of us can influence people in different ways for Jesus. But let's continue to renew that sense of purpose that is so much greater than our own. And so, as our musicians come, let it be known that the people of First Baptist, from the unborn to the newborn to the aged and everyone in between, we choose life. We like to answer two questions at this time, every service. What has God said to you? And what are you going to do about it?